You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
Let's get into it, because I've been waiting to ask. I know you've been working on maybe, I'll use the words at first, like an art transformation or a different way of trying to express yourself as an artist. And the main thing is I want to know all about it. So like tell us like what you're doing and what changes you're making and what it means for you.
Right. So yeah, as you said earlier about Dirty Princess Band, I kind of reached a breaking point in the sense of wanting to, I just felt stagnant. I just felt that we had reached our point, and the people that my other bandmates, who I love dearly, I just felt that we had reached a point where there was no progression. And I love Dirty Princess, but it definitely feels like it was more of a stepping stone rather than like a thing that lasts forever. And I definitely say, who knows, like things come back around if they're meant to come back around. But I just really needed to, with, and I should mention too, our bassist Michaela moved to Los Angeles, or made the decision to move to Los Angeles. And it was and I was okay with that. I was like, you should go and explore and be with your other band, Blackwater Holy Light, who's awesome. But it all happened at the right time, because, and she knew that too. I was like, I'm not feeling like this is moving in the way that I want it to. So I had a few things happen in my life that kind of caused disruption with relationship and other stuff like that. And I was really curious why things were panning out the way they were and who I was surrounded with and why I felt that I couldn't move forward. So I did a lot of analyzing of, like, rather than saying it's the people that surround me, like, I really have to figure out where my path is and how, because you are what you surround yourself by. So, like, people that say, you know, don't surround yourself with people who aren't in your same viewpoint. Well, you are at that viewpoint, whoever you are around. So, there's a lot to it, but basically the main thing is I took a second to look inward, and I was just doing some meditating, and I was like, what do I need to do right now in order to really feel happy within what I'm creating? Because, and this was something that I was talking about, ideas and outcomes. In Dirty Princess and previous things, I just felt like my ideas weren't flourishing to the amount that I had envisioned them. And so what I did was I had this feeling in meditation, and it said, now is not the time to go wide. It's time to go deep. So, like, basically this is a logical standpoint from what I did, but there was a lot of pain that was circulating within me, within how I was allowing people to treat me, because I am a person who wants to see people rise, and within turn that they take advantage sometimes or view me as somebody who I guess didn't have a strong footing. And I didn't really have a strong footing at that time because I was inundated with alcohol and drugs. So all of it was spot on. I was allowing myself to be in this process, you know? So I just kind of wanted to get the fuck away from everybody. And, within the rock and roll scene, I felt like there was a lot of projections that I was just this, like, dominating, witch bitch, witch, which, you know, I think I have these qualities. I'm definitely a leader. I definitely stand my ground, but I felt like it was more negative polarity based rather than like, I'm like, this is positive polarity based where it's like, I am a leader. I do like to influence in a way that makes people feel good, but not in the sense of like domination and control. So I was trying to figure out how to flip those things around in order for it to be a positive end of the spectrum. So yeah, I isolated for a few months and just journaled every single day and was just trying to really get down to what was going on inside of me. And yeah, long story short, I wanted to make a film that reflected these changes that I was going through. So yeah, we did the PCP film. And what's great about things that are supposed to happen is that you have an idea and then people just kind of flood in and then you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And so with the film, my friend Chris, who is a part of Futuro, who I'll mention because he has been the main reason why we've been able to get a crew together and like a good crew, like people who really know what they're doing. I've learned so much from these people. I owe them where I'm at right now, which is not even where I want to be. It's just a very small step. And executed it in such an amazing way. And everything flowed so nicely. So basically, PCP is the project I'm working on, and it's called Orphic Hymns. And it has to do with the transformation from the smaller self to the larger self. Same being, but basically the first part is about being, you know, and this is also just a part of growing. You start out very inwardly focused. It's all about me, yada, yada. The second part is where you get to see Mother Earth in action. We are in a beach and we're flying all these drones over top of beautiful cliffs. It looks like Bridge to Terabithia or something. Like it's so beautiful. So the second part is about coming outside of that inward all about me thought, whatever, and realizing that there's greater forces at play and that we all have a part within it, and learning to move like the ocean, learning to move and hold strong like the mountains, and just understanding that we are an image reflected of this earth and not singular, you know, and all these things work in these beautiful synchronistic.
That is what the term is right
That's
now.
That's what it is now. Ways that, like, basically I think all this has become is like when you really pay attention. And I actually had the opportunity of doing that because of COVID. Because I don't think I would have been able to not work and like not, you know, do all these things. So like, if you have that opportunity, and that this is a common story with so many people that went through this, you know, you took the time, but I just decided to take more time because I was like, I really got to figure out what's going on internally.
Yeah.
Because the evil side, I felt like, and I, you know, I think I had to do some flushing too, like spiritually as well, because my father's background, very magic, like my grandmother was very magical, and I think that we had some curses on the family because he left another family to come here with a white woman, and which is my mother. And when we went down there, like, there was all this talk. So my father has a kid down there. We, like, came up on a voodoo, like, thing there and went home. And, like, my mom had a vision of my sister with rattles around her head. Like, this was all in this. I was having these reoccurring dreams with, like, a grim reaper at the end of my bed. And there was this presence in my life where I was, like, I feel like there is some spiritual contract and there's like a replaying within my family. And so within this internal thing, I did a lot of meditation where I had to do like rituals of flushing out things, because that's so real. Like, especially if you're an open vessel, you know, things can get attached to your psyche to feel safe or whatever, you know? So I had to do a lot of that, and it did help, like 100%. And also the spirituality and in alcohol and stuff like that, like that's a whole nother thing. You know, you really got to flush those things in your mind that are saying you need this, like, drowning factor in your life in order to survive, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically flushing out internal dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of what you had to say that I was connecting to as far as a process. There's two things based on what you say I'm really interested in getting at. And the first is, could you talk about the just the process of writing and journaling as far as your transformation? Because I don't write enough. I'm one of the individuals, like, I don't write enough.
You'd be great if you wrote. You have a lot of thoughts, and like it all organizes when you put it on paper.
Yeah. So tell us. Tell me about that to help me and help others as far as that particular journaling process as far as the transformation for yourself.
Right. What's cool about journaling too is that once you've finished, like, let's say a book or whatever, and your intention is growth while doing it, you see your whole process. And it's easy to reflect on your process as like, oh, I remember this and this and this, and this is where I'm at now. But your words literally change how you view the world changes. So what I did that helped me is using divination. So using tarot. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I love about it, about things, is there's this one tarot thing. I don't have it, but I've been listening about it, and it's called This Might Hurt. And basically it's just you lay out your thing. If you got one that's like, this is specifically for me. And there's things on there that are hard to hear. Arrogance. And that was definitely within like rock and roll. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's built on fuck you.
It is built on fuck you. And I'm still about that in a sense, but in a way that's going to actually do something. You know, it's one thing to be like, fuck you, don't conform. And you're like, all right.
Well, it's punk and then something.
Yeah.
I think.
Right.
Then something.
Yeah. Right. It's like, I want to actually use this idea of fuck you, punk, whatever, and actually move into something that starts a conversation, you know? And that was one thing that was lacking in Dirty Princess. I would want to have these conversations of growth and expansion, and but I also have to deal with, you know, that just has to do with the Black experience too, I think, is that like there's this whole other mindset that we feel, and also from talking to other Black artists, we feel like we need to prove ourselves because we have to, you know what I mean, in a sense. But it became less about proving myself and more, it's just funny how when you start with something, it's about something.
Yeah.
And then when you get deeper into it, it's like, oh, you know, it's more than that, you know? But anyway, back to journaling. So yeah, I did a tarot card divination every morning. I would have a meditation, a little ritual, make a coffee, make a tea, sit down by the window, light some sage. Take a second. And then it's all about, for me, and this also might be an obsessive thing, is the ritual. So doing the cards 7 times. Thinking about
the show's about indulging obsessions, so all right? Your processes are totally fine.
Yeah.
I understand the 7 times that you had to do it. And after
right,
that, yeah.
Right. So it like, so I, you know, I'd lay them out every morning. I would. So this is the strengthening of the internal guidance. So internal guidance, how you know it's your higher self, is it's going to lead you into peace and content. Lower vibration leads you into judgment and making you feel worse. So when you know that it's your higher self, you're going to feel at peace. You're going to be like, that was a thought that calmed me down, you know?
Yeah.
And that was something that really helped me, because I usually went into something that it made me go deeper into judgment, like, oh, fuck this, I suck, you know, and then go deeper into, you know, being upset about the issue. So I had to, in the beginning, write a letter to myself. Good morning, beloved. Today is a beautiful day. Write down dreams I was having, whatever. And it gets so deep that these things start flushing themselves out, you know? So I would read and, you know, there would be like an arrogance card and like just basically all these things that I needed to pay attention to that I just didn't even know I innately was projecting into the world, you know, because you get so used to being in this thing. You're like, I'm a good person, right?
Habit, right?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. You're like,
everything's cool. It's been cool for the last 4 years. Yeah, everything's cool. Yeah. Or not cool. And yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Right. So I would write down all these things, focus on them, try to do the best to change them, put it out into life where I was practicing these things and like learning to really look at the parts of myself that either I didn't think I had the issue with, but yeah, we're only human and like we always got to work on stuff. So it was just basically like hyper focus onto the things that were holding me back in life. And with journaling this every day, and I'm getting to a point now, and this only happened within the last few months, and I've been journaling for about like the last 2 years, is how simplified my it's like my thoughts have become simplified, but much more potent. So,
you can be sensitive to that as well, because you're clearly a poet. So I'm just saying, as far as getting the words in there and the potency of it, you're going to be sensitive to that as a poet.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, and it's more gratitude. Like before it was like, flushing out issues. And now, since I've come this far, now it's like, greet the day, like these trees. It's just more of an awareness of these things that are around me that, rather than like everything that's going on in there. So it just shows that I've been growing and I'm more comfortable within, expressing myself. Like I feel like before, sometimes my thoughts were so twisted, and I found that interesting. Like I was like, wow, like
the messiness, yeah, twisted, yeah,
right,
contradictory,
right, yeah. Like I was like, oh, this is interesting. But now since I have this clarity, it's just more in depth and yeah, more potent, but less on the negative polarity of like, you know, this is kind of twisted. It's like, whoa, this is illuminating. This is, there's less negative, I guess, on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know if that helps at all with writing, but it's just like what people have asked me this before too. And it's like, you just have to really want it. You have to really want to make that change, you know, unless you don't really want it. But that's also the thing. And that has to do with the Black experience, too. I was like, what is the most dangerous thing that the government, for me as a Black woman, it's not me being intoxicated in a rock band saying, fuck the government. That's not what does that do? You know, other than, you know, influence would be a few people, but I was like, the most dangerous thing to the government would be a Black woman who's self-aware, who's keen, who pays attention, and who takes the necessary actions to really create change in the sense, in like art, but bigger than art, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I was like philosophy, psychology, going to school, getting the education, not actually going to school, sneaking into school, getting into that.
Getting the education, you get it by yourself, you get it sneaking in, you get it wherever you can get it.
Right, yeah. Right. So I was like, the most dangerous thing would be someone who's very in tune and very aligned.
Yeah.
Because if you're aligned and you come in sense with conflict or anything like that, you can handle it in such a graceful way that allows you to rise and rise above. So, and like, definitely as a Black woman, you come into those contexts of like where people want you to react in a certain way in order for the, you know, in order for things to work out for them.
Yeah.
And I just thought that like, if grace was internalized in such a way that like I can move through any sort of situation, especially if it starts to get harder. I feel like I have this thing in my body that's pushing me now that I've like feel more aligned. And it's definitely geared towards like social justice in the sense of if we were all to get in touch, and it's such a kind of sounds intangible, you know, to be like, if we got everyone in line and understand how to navigate this world, that we can step into the God of God's mind sense and the sense of creation.
Yeah. I think there is, I mean, I was thinking in terms of Buddhism and
oh,
kind
yeah.
of like,
well, that too.
A lot of people don't think in the sense of like engage social justice within that thinking, but it's a very different way of looking at it. It has to do with something you talk about, like the universal or the compassion that comes in from individuals within a society, and that creates the radical transformation,
right?
That we look for, because we don't think of like, you know, Buddhist political parties, because it seems like so attachment to a thing.
Right,
and,
right.
But it's more of the sense in the a personal transformation. Jules, I wanted to ask you, so you're an East Coast gal.
Yeah.
And from out east. And you're talking about the Black experience and part of your experience. So now you're in Oregon, now you're in Portland,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And so... And you and I know that the East Coast feels different. I mean,
it does.
It feels different. So there's, there's a different kind of way of operating in the world,
right,
that you enter into. I was interested when you said, you know, the pressure to prove yourself, and you're
mm-hmm.
mentioning specifically with Black artists.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was some of the things that, like, what was that for you? Like, what did you... In your experience,
right,
what did you have to do to, or feel you had to do to prove yourself?
Right. I mean, it definitely also come, like, I'm just going to be real with my analytical mindset of like my childhood development and like what goes from that. And like I said, it's kind of like an innate thing. Like I grew up being like, this is, I want to prove that I can constantly, like I moved out when I was 15 to... And got a job and stayed, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a place. And my parents were just like, what are you?
Yeah. Like, I was watching and being like, what is going to happen now?
And I always wanted to, always wanted to just like fight.
Yeah.
Try to get out of, never have anybody tell me what to do and how to do it. So that was my way of like, I can get a job. I can make my own money. Also, I think it also comes from being like in a poor family. And like, I was like, I'm gonna, and yeah, I was kind of wild too. So I was like, I'm gonna get out of my parents' hair. But since I am that, I think that's what's funny is like, when I'm around people that I enjoy, I just let my inhibitions down. I'm just like, wee, you know, and And there was a lot of underestimating in my life. And it was because of my outward appearance, pretty face, you know, like fairies, just me being myself. And then I feel like I wasn't, I mean, in some areas, in lots of areas, I was taken seriously. But maybe this is just also an internal dialogue. I'm like, do they really see who I feel like I am? And so I guess, you know, I was, and also this maybe has to do with it. I grew up in a mostly white community. So there's all this like, under the radar, like racism and stuff like that. Like, and so I always kind of felt like, I'm going to prove to you that the black woman is way more than what you feel like it is, you know? And I remember in school too, people were like, do you have a rich family? And I'd be like, no, like actually not at all. But like, why? They're like, 'cause you speak well, you know? And it was just like little things like that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you'll see what else I'll do well too. You know, it's just like all of these things. And of course you can be sympathetic and try to understand where, you know, the black woman or the black man is coming from. But when your whole life is in the scope of like, this is who you, like I said, projected stereotypes and stuff, like this is who you are and this is what category you fit into and like all this stuff. And I just felt isolated from both ends because it was like, this has to be this way or this has to be this way. And which way are you? And I'm like, I'm just
trying to, I don't know. Like I'm figuring it out.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, so I've just always wanted to prove that there is another avenue from what we have to be. So that was the proving, like, you don't have to be this way. I don't have to be in the white community. I don't have to be just in the black community. Like, this is what I believe. Yes, black is powerful, but also why are you questioning the way I speak? You think my family's rich because I'm like, so what your idea is, if you're a poor black woman, you would be this way, and this way, right?
Right.
And I was a poor black woman in the sense, in like, if we're talking wealth-wise, like with my family. So I just wanted to always be like, there's another way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just translated now into my work now. And it's like, I'm accepting who I am. And this other way, there's also other people that believe this other way too. And I'm starting to connect with those people, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where proving myself.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm also just proving it to myself because I also feel that like, I surprise how my mind works since I am obsessive and really want to get to the bottom of some certain situation. It's really cool proving it to myself. Like, wow, cool. Okay. I did that. That's amazing. Now what's next? Like, it's just, it's the thirst. It's the thirst for the unknown. Like, what can I get at? And like, what new discovery, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I was wondering as far as, that whole process, because, you know, I pointed out, what I've seen in your work that you show is definitely a poetic sensibility. One of the things that I notice with artists or just people in general is when their interests are extremely varied, right? Without apology. So you almost don't end up like branding yourself as I like this type of thing. You kind of like all over the place.
It's true.
With that. So you're talking about writing and poetry and not to separate this out, but I'm a huge music lover, obsessive, and I know you are. For you in the process you've been going through, Mm-hmm. Has that part of yourself, like, have you had to, like, put it in a certain place, or is that getting all jangled as
yeah.
well at the time now?
Yeah, so I've always loved music. Music is such a big part of me. But, like, I want it, since I am going deeper, I wanted the music to match, too. So that's why I've been wanting, well, I have been working with, like, string instruments, and I got this file from my friend, and we've been chopping it up in the studio, and my biggest inspiration, like, I guess when I was in rock and roll, like, my biggest inspiration was, like, Jennifer Emma, like, the Royal Trucks, and, like, all these people who were in that mindset of, like, drink and be wild and put on an amazing show. And I was like, wow, what liberation in that.
Yeah.
And now, since there's clarity, I'm like, what liberation in, like, capturing that feeling, you know, of liberation. So Hans Zimmer has been someone who's been, I've just been like, whoa, and watching all those processes. And I'm working with this amazing engineer, producer. His name's Neil Vontali. He produced so many people. And I don't know if you guys have heard of The Last Artful Dodger.
Yes.
Yeah. He, like, produced all of her work. And worked with, like, Snoop Dogg and, like, all this other shit. So I'm so pleased to be working with him. He is amazing. I told him about how I loved Hans Zimmer and this certain thing where he chopped up, like, a whole viola track and turned it into this huge, like, orchestra-esque sort of piece, and it's matching. So do you remember seeing those the photos of me and the chains?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's part of part one.
Yes, I do remember seeing the photos of you and Chains.
So that's part one, and that's where all the viola orchestra music is in. So it's very dramatic. And those chains I manufactured myself and, like, made because I was like, I need to really feel what it feels like to physically make your own barrier.
Yeah.
So I, like, made the cuffs. I wish I brought them in because they're, like, so heavy. I took them to Neil's when we were recording because we were recording chain sounds.
Yeah.
Because we incorporated that in with the whole piece.
Yeah, and hard metallic.
Yeah, like iron. And where was I going with that?
I don't know. You got lost in the whole
photo shoot.
I know
the chains. So just the music and stuff. But, yeah, I just wanted to take it further. Like, I felt like rock and roll was, like, an instant gratification thing, and I wanted to be involved with creating a whole atmosphere with music and wardrobe and lighting to really, like, immortalize the feeling of, you know, being held back and how frustrating that is when you're stagnant. It's so frustrating, you know? It's like, why can't I move forward? You know? And then you realize, I've created these chains. I've manufactured me holding myself back. And that was the point. That was, like, the first point of when I wanted to, like, remove myself from the whole Dirty Princess thing. I was like, all of these things I've created. And it's, like, goes to going into saying, like, you know, with the job and stuff. Like, I'm in this job. I've come here. I'm in it. But it's, like, but you also, once you get so deep into something, but you also have the power to take those chains, just let them fall off and just go. But there's so much fear and risk in that, you know?
Yeah.
But I really just took a leap and was like, I'm taking everything that has held me back, every single thing, and banishing it.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. But music, it's funny because, yeah, like you said, with varied thing, I'm like, music is just another tool that I use, because it is something that hits you in the heart, you know, when you feel it. So it's just a tool.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I love music, but I guess not in the same sense as, like, somebody's like, this is my career. I'm a musician. It's like,
yeah.
I'm like, this is a tool I use to better animate everything else too.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've seen in interviewing artists over time, is just the multivaried, like, I see multivaried, like, talents and expressions, and I think a lot of artists have to deal with that because it is we're always asking the question is like, what are you? Like that whole thing that you had to do, right?
Right.
Like, are you, you know, are you the lead singer? Are right. you the, are you this? Or are you the poet? Are you a published poet?
Right. And I think that better describes what I'm doing is poetry,
yeah.
but with all these tools.
Yeah.
So.
Poetry, but a little bit of cheating with tools, right?
Yeah, right. But the poetry is the film. The poetry is the music. The poetry is outfits. Yeah. Like, that's what the PCP Philosophique thing I wanted to, like, that little website blog thing. I'm like, because philosophy is just a way of life, and life is a component of many things. And that's what poetry is. Just, like, seeing the world in a way that resonates and puts things into perspective, you know, because things yeah. just fly by you unless you pay attention and you're like, oh wow, like all these things that come at us can move through us.
Yeah,
you know, the only way out is through. So like getting to see everything and I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jules, thank you so much for talking about you know, the deep parts of your journey mm-hmm. and your exploration. And you know, as you know, I love the work that you do because I feel there's this disruptive quality about it, but it's like almost simultaneously like engaging what you're doing. I wanted to at the end here, because well, we could probably do three or four of these, but just for our time here.
Yeah, right.
How do you want to lead people towards the things that you do, the things that you're trying towards mm-hmm. yourself in a creative sense, just because people will listen to this and be like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, like
yeah.
what she's doing. So like yeah. just where do you want people to go?
Yeah. So as of right now, you can go to Instagram is a great way to get connected. I mostly post a lot of the things on my story about what I'm doing. Yeah, I also have a blog out called PCP Philosophique, and that there's a little link there that you could check out. And I'm going to be posting things like every week on just different ideas and stuff like that. Like, it's funny because I guess it's not that important what I'm doing. It is important.
Post interrupts.
I guess looking in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important. But if you have an interest yeah. of what I'm doing, like, hopefully it allows you to, because people use that word unapologetic or whatever, and it's like, I don't understand what I had to apologize for. So like yeah. but I do understand what people mean when they say that. I just want to create things that make people think, and this film PCP Orphic Hymns that will be out, hopefully we wanted to do it by spring, but it's just taken too much time, and I'm fine with it taking the time it needs. So maybe in the fall we'll be hearing more about it. So just look out for PCP. We're going to be probably playing in a few theaters around here too. So yeah, look out for PCP, Orphic Hymns. And if you're interested in that, yeah, my Instagram is PCP3K. And yeah, I look forward to just elaborating on life and just doing what I want and make it poetry.
Thanks, Jules.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much. It's great spending time with you.
Always. You guys are the best.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.